to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I realize and recognize that we are able to respect every faith. But when our founding fathers were thinking about blessing America, they were thinking about the God of the Bible. They were thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And how many know there's only one name given among men? Oh, I know his name is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm wondering if you know him. He's a mind regulator. He's a yoke destroyer. He is a bridge over troubled waters. His name is... He's the sweetest name I know. Come on now. If you believe in the name of Jesus, come on, put your hands together and give him the glory. He's the only name.
Well, that was Pastor Lorenzo Sewell at the National Jubilee of Prayer and Praise and Thanksgiving on Sunday in the nation's capital. Today's podcast is part two of just a touch of those things. Now, I'm not bringing you the program as it was presented. I'm picking out things and piecing them together. So if you don't like it, don't blame them. It wasn't them. It's me. I just want to give you a taste of some of my favorite moments. There were lots of musical groups there that I would love to have played for you. Salvation Army was there. The Navy Band was there. They had bagpipes, but a lot of that I wasn't able to get to play for you. So it was... just a day of repentance and worship and prayer, calling our nation back to God. And it was, as I said in our first podcast on this, this was for all of us. This wasn't just about those people that gathered on the mall on Sunday. It wasn't just about them. It's about you if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus. It's about you if you're not, because this is your country. And that, don't think that God did not hear the prayers of those of us that were there worshiping and praying on your behalf, because he did. And some of you are probably at home praying and repenting. And that really is the point. You can't, a nation can't repent. A people, the parts of the nation, the families of the nation are the ones who must repent. And so that's what we're praying for, and that's what the day was all about, worship and prayer and repentance. It was beautiful. And, of course, we had a lot of our nation's leaders who are strong and dedicated believers in the Lord Jesus, and they came and spoke to us, too. Part one will have a lot of those, Pete Hegseth and Secretary of State Marco Rubio and some others. But it was a wonderful day. And actually, I think I'm going to have a longer dry opening here. Bruce, let's just, my sweetheart, hello, sweetheart.
Good morning.
You know, I think it'd be interesting to talk about the way it's being reported before we get into more of the content here, because you've been watching this. I haven't. I've been pulling clips from that day, but what are you seeing?
Well, of course, the mainstream media is really trying to downplay this and poo-poo it. They keep describing this day of prayer as Trump's day of reverence to himself, like we were all worshiping him, which is ridiculous. They're also showing photographs of open chairs saying no one was there. Well, it went for 8 to 10 hours, depending on when you arrived. And there were times when people, the actual program had not started yet. And I think that's when they took the pictures of these empty chairs, because we can tell you we were sitting six rows back and it was very full where we were. And when you looked behind us, there were additional chairs, and then there was the open area where people were sitting on the grass, and there were thousands and thousands of people. I've had the media reports will tell you it was very few. The actual count, I think it was 375,000 people were at the actual event, and there were 10 million people watching it on television or online.
And to expand on what you just said, well, security, of course, everybody, all those people had to go through security. So we could hear the program starting when we were in line forever.
Yeah, we were in line for over an hour.
And so when we got up to our seats, there were a lot of empty seats because people were trying to get through. It took a long time. So I'm sure they took their little funny, fancy pictures before people had been able to get into the to get into their place because it was packed. And so we just wanted you to know that. It was great.
And, you know, despite the numbers, even if there had only been 100 people there, it was such an experience. I mean, this was really a reverent moment. Just the combination of prayer, of music, of history, because we were given history of the founding fathers and how they founded our country based on Judeo-Christian values.
And in prayer to him for preservation, it happened to be the exact 250th anniversary from the day the Continental Congress was encouraged to begin to pray every morning by, of all people, Benjamin Franklin. He said, you know, when we were founding the country, we were on our knees every morning because we feared for our lives. And now we're in chaos trying to figure out this Constitution. We're arguing with each other. Remember, hey guys, remember God? Remember that great light of heaven? Why are we not bending our knee to him? And so that was just happened to be 250 years from the day that the administration declared this to be May the 17th of 2026 to be a day of jubilee, of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. It's just an amazing thing, a God thing, as far as I'm concerned. Well, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7. My husband, Bruce, is with me, and we both love this country, and we both love the Lord, and I can't think of a better combination, truly. I mean, loving the Lord enhances everything, enhances your marriage, your families, your relationships, your work, your business. It's a seamless thing, and it actually is very strongly connected to the way you behave yourself as a citizen of your country. It's a touch of apostasy in our current times for Christians to now believe that they cannot love their country. Don't mean it's not blindless devotion. It's a practical, honest assessment. But you still love your home, even if it's got a leak in the bathroom. You know, you want to fix the leak. So we got to fix some leaks, but we love our country. And the only way, you know, if we are the preservative, the salt and the light, what do you expect to happen in government if Christians leave and say they can't be involved, they can't talk about it, pastors can't mention it? Really? Because as I said in the first broadcast, I will repeat, in him, it is in him that we live and move and have our being. God is in everything. And that's what Ben Franklin said. The longer I live, the more I realize that God dwells in the affairs of men. Don't miss it. Don't miss this incredible time in our nation because somehow you think that's secular or unworthy of your Christian faith. How could God think that something that is so much a part of your life, he placed you here? You think this is an accident? And where does it say in Scripture that you abdicate? It doesn't say that. It says you bless the land. Even back in Jeremiah, it talks about be a blessing in the land that you occupy. See that it prospers. So, but of course, none of this can happen without repentance. And so we're going to get into that on this show too. But first, central to our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, of course, is the right to life. The right to life. And you know, not only is it a part of Scripture that we don't kill living people, that God's admonition in Genesis, before the commandments were ever given, was that man should not shed the blood of another man. And that includes, of course, an unborn baby. And so we can stand on solid ground in every way to say that we must preserve the life of our unborn children. We have to stop the scourge of the hundreds of thousands of babies who have lost their lives at the hands of some of our doctors, now at the hands, those young women, of their own hands, the death of their children through the French abortion pill, mifepristone, and the other drug. So we are just renewed in stopping this. And so, of course, preborn is at the front of that, and they provide ways to help people and persuade in a beautiful way by showing moms the pictures of the 4D ultrasound of their babies in utero so that they can see that life and make a choice to save it. And so if you'd like to help us in honor of this, really, I believe, the birth of the nation, another, just a new chance, a revival, a renewal, in this country, a renewal of our commitment to save lives in this way. If you want to help with preborn, you just go to preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. All right, well, here we go. You're in for a treat on day two of the coverage of the National Jubilee of Prayer, Praise, and Thanksgiving on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Thank you so much, my friends. It is such a blessing to welcome you all here to the nation's capital. Thank you. My humble assignment here today is to bring us straight to the Lord in a prayer of rededication. Would you join me in that? Would you join me in that? Our Heavenly Father, We thank you so much for this great day that you've given us here. And we remember that your mighty hand has been upon our nation since the very beginning. Since Christopher Columbus set sail in the New World, since the settlers at Jamestown planted the cross at Cape Henry, and since the pilgrims at Plymouth made a covenant to give you the glory. In all that time, you guided us at every pivotal moment. And when our forefathers took up the great cause of American independence, they turned to you in steadfast prayer. And on this very day, now 2.5 centuries ago, the Second Continental Congress gathered in Philadelphia, facing imminent battle and almost certain death. Our founders held a decisive day of what they called humiliation, fasting, and prayer. They did that to humble themselves and to seek your guidance at the dawn of their fight for freedom. Just weeks later, Lord, on July 4th, 1776, you gave 56 patriots the courage and the conviction to sign their names to the Declaration of Independence, forming 13 distant and disparate colonies into a new nation, which would become, by your mercy and grace, the freest, most successful, most benevolent nation in the history of the world. And in those early days, you safeguarded George Washington and his ragtag army as they defeated the mightiest of empires. And you gave our fathers the wisdom and faith to establish this new nation premised on the biblical and foundational principle that all men are created equal and free before you. Through your divine providence, our founders acknowledged and boldly proclaimed the self-evident truth that every single person is created in your image, and that we are endowed by you, our Creator, with our inalienable rights to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Lord, we know that that declaration, which has been recognized as our nation's creed, has also been the inspiration for the single greatest force for peace and justice and human flourishing. It set in motion a chain of events that altered the very course of human history. And today, as we seek to fulfill its true meaning, those self-evident truths still guide our nation and still call us to honor and cherish and protect the dignity of every human life. Lord, today our people gather once again in your name. We have humbled ourselves before you. We acknowledge that the miracle of our founding and the countless miracles that have followed are your doing. We remember that we owe our nation every victory, every hero, every good deed she has brought forth to you, Almighty God. Amid a bloody civil war, you gave Abraham Lincoln the vision and the fortitude to ignite a new birth of freedom. And in the turbulent years that followed, you offered us healing and restoration, calling us even then to the better angels of our nature. When our allies in Europe fell prey to the dark shadow of fascism, you equipped our greatest generation with the strength to defend and liberate Western civilization. You filled the sojourners of the civil rights movement with your spirit as they challenged their generation to live up to the promises enshrined in the Declaration. In the 20th century, you gave brave leaders like President Ronald Reagan the courage and heart to speak boldly to the promise of God-given liberty and the emptiness of godless Soviet tyranny. At the dawn of a new century, when terror struck our homeland on September 11th, you gave 44 heroes on Flight 93 your divine courage to thwart that murderous attack. You drove out fear out of the hearts of rescuers and first responders who ran upstairs and into fires to help those in need. And in the years that followed, as we cleared the ashes and debris, you healed our broken hearts, and you revealed again the fierce, unbreakable spirit of the American people. Every day since, over each of our 250 years, America has been a land of hope and liberty, a place of miracles, and the light and glory of all nations because of you. And now, as we approach the 250th anniversary of American independence, we face a new set of challenges in a new era.
Well, that was the voice of the Speaker of the House of the United States of America, the third in line to be the President of the United States, Mike Johnson. Now, most of us know that Mike Johnson is a believer in Christ, and I publicly confess to you, I've been very hard on him. I think he's made some bad decisions at times, but I've never doubted his faith. And it just occurred to me as I was listening to him, because he came, you're going to hear a little bit later, he was the final voice calling us to repentance in this nation, the Speaker of the House of the United States of America. And it occurred to me that these men that we're pointing out, and there's some others too, are listening to God's voice. And there will be mistakes along the way. We've seen that. But the thing that gives me courage and encouragement is that they love God. Who else was there? Well, the Vice President of the United States spoke, J.D. Vance. He's a believer in Christ too. The Speaker of the House, I just mentioned, the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, gave a beautiful speech, which we played yesterday. Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, gave an impassioned speech about our history and some of the miracles. Also, as you well know, a committed believer in Christ. Do we not understand what an incredible thing that is? These are the top leaders of our country. And there are more than that. I mentioned that I saw so many people that I know who are personally who are Christians who are working in the Trump administration that I really had no idea. And I know who they are. I know what kind of people they are. This is a time where God is hearing our prayers. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. And then in addition to that, there was someone else who showed up on camera. And his name is President Donald Trump. And I want you to know that this whole occasion was President Donald Trump's idea. He had a whole list of ideas when he became president in 2016 or before he became president of things he wanted to see happen in this country. And one of them was a national, like a prayer day of recommitment to God. Now, we all know we're not sure where he stands spiritually. I always want to believe the best about people, really. Why wouldn't you? What gain is there to be a skeptic, a mocking skeptic? He's giving a lot of evidences that he really does know God. I don't know what extent. But he's the one. This was his idea. And so we need to, even if you don't like him, don't you think that's wonderful? Really? In my lifetime, I've never seen a president do anything like this. And that includes the really good ones like Reagan. Bush talked about God some, but they never went beyond the bounds of something very careful. They always walked the political safe line. Not this president. Not this president. And so he briefly joined us. It was his only time. And he briefly joined us because on the reading of the Bible, the 24-hour reading, he was part of that. And he read, you'll recognize this scripture. It's part of this longer passage coming out of the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Let's listen.
Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for you, if you will walk before me, as David your father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of my kingdom according to as I have covenanted with David your father, saying, there shall not fail you as a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up from the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to every one that passes by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore has he brought all this evil upon them.
Now think about that. President Trump is reading that passage, and you may think, well, he's reading it to us, but to me, he is reading something that he is taking in personally and understanding. I think that's the reason he called for the prayer and repentance. And I think he wants to do what's right. That's the very least you can say for him. But he understands. He's telling us, as he's telling himself, if we obey God and repent, we will prosper. If we don't, we will become a laughingstock to the nations. And that's what he just read. And Bruce, what are people saying about President Trump in this? You've been reading about that.
Well, of course, the mainstream media is trying to make it look like President Trump only had this event so that people would, I guess, worship him. If you think about the passages that he just read, President Trump, nothing could be further from the truth. He is humbling himself in what he read. That was all about us humbling ourselves before God. And if Trump really thought this was about him, he would not be reading that. He would just be walking out with his arms up like, look at me, look at me. And he did actually the opposite. You know, people keep referring to this as President Trump's adoration tour or whatever. You know what? President Trump had very little to do with the actual day. He appeared on tape. He did not come there. He did not there were not posters of President Trump. It was this thing, this Rededicate 250 was all about what it said. It was about prayer and praise, prayer, and thanksgiving. And it wasn't prayer to Donald Trump. What I think is amazing, Sandy, is you've talked about all the different politicians that were there. These are people that have power, at least they have earthly power. And they could easily take that power and do what is good for them, which is what we've come to expect out of most politicians. But what they're talking about is really, it goes right back to the Declaration of Independence, because you go to the second paragraph of it. It talks about inalienable rights, that rights are self-evident, that they are from God. That was emphasized continually, especially by the politicians on Sunday, that our rights are not from government. They are from God. They are self-evident. In other words, we see it in the world. We see it in nature. We feel it in our worship. Our rights do not come from Donald Trump or any other politician who's ever been alive.
And he recognizes that in spite of what they say. So, but he was not. It was not about him, as Bruce mentioned. This was about worship and praise. It was just pure worship and celebration and repentance. And so several pastors came to speak. We can't play all of them, but I thought it'd be nice to hear Dr. Jeffress from First Baptist Church, Dallas. We had Catholic priests that were there. We had, I think, a Jewish rabbi speak. There were no other faiths, which I'm glad, because they were not there at the foundings. This is about our founding fathers and the God of our fathers. This is who we worship. This is the very DNA of our country. And we have to recapture that if we want God to prosper. You heard President Trump read in his passage in 2 Chronicles, if you start following after other gods. And he said, don't do that. Don't do that. This is a recentering. All right, so Dr. Robert Jeffress, who has been a good friend for such a long time, came to the forefront, and this is what he said. Clip two.
In March of 1776, as the American colonies stood on the brink of war against the most powerful empire in the world, it was the Second Continental Congress that called for a day of fasting and prayer. The day would be May 17th, 1776, exactly 250 years ago today. It would be a day, our forefathers said, when we would call on God. It would be a day that we would repent of our sins. It was a day that we would boldly ask God to give us victory over our enemies. As my friend Gary Bauer notes, these leaders who loved our country and loved our God would be called Christian nationalists today. And it is a title they would have gladly embraced. By the way, if being a Christian nationalist means loving Jesus Christ and loving America, count me in. They were bold about their Christianity. They weren't ashamed of it. They knew that it was their Christian faith that compelled them to love this great country and those who resided in it. And it was their Christian faith that made our forefathers realize that the fate of our nation did not rest alone in the strength of our armies, but in the power of our God. A few months after that day of fasting and prayer, on the eve of America's independence, on July 3rd, 1776, John Adams wrote a letter to his wife, Abigail, and he predicted that this would be the most memorable epoch in the history of America, and that there should be annual celebrations that would include pomp and parade, sports and shows, but it would also include sacred acts of devotion to Almighty God. 250 years later, we are here to fulfill that vision. Our great president, President Donald Trump, has planned a year of celebration as we have a time of sports and shows and pomp and parade. Nobody can plan a party better than President Trump. But President Trump also wisely believed that this celebration should begin with those sacred acts of devotion to Almighty God. And that is why he is the one who has called us together today to rededicate our lives to God. The president believes that we need God. You and I believe that we need God individually and together as a nation. And may I tell you a secret? That the left does not want you to know. Our forefathers knew they needed God as well, and they weren't too proud to admit it. Remember the words of Benjamin Franklin? He said, "The longer I live, the more I see convincing proofs that God governs the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God's notice, can an empire rise without his aid? Except the Lord build the house, those who labor, labor in vain." We need God. Why do we need God? Listen to me. Today is not just a day to remember history. It is a day to remember the hand that wrote our history, the hand of Almighty God. It was God who guided our forefathers, the same God who promises to give us guidance if we will ask him. The same God who gave us victory over our enemies in the past promises to give us victory today if we will depend upon him. And the same God who breathed life into this country 250 years ago, that same God promises to raise us to new heights if we will rededicate ourselves to him. What does it mean for us as a nation to rededicate ourselves to God? How does a rededication like that take place? The same way it happened 250 years ago. It starts with a prayer. It starts with you. It starts with me. My predecessor at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, the late W.A. Criswell, said it this way. He said, "I am a part of a nation, maybe a small part, but I'm a part of a nation. And the nation cannot repent unless I repent. The America cannot be saved. The nation cannot be saved unless I am saved. And America cannot rededicate herself to God unless I rededicate myself to God. The fire, the flame, the devotion must begin in my heart." Some of you may remember that years ago, we used to sing a little chorus that went like this. "Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival, and let it begin in me." That is the hope. That is the prayer of every Christian who loves God and loves America. May God bless you, and may God continue to bless these United States of America. Thank you very much.
All right, that was Dr. Robert Jeffress at the National Jubilee of Prayer, Praise and Thanksgiving that Bruce and I had a part in attending. We were there, but the point is to bring it to you. You know, God doesn't know time and space. It happened Sunday, so that means it's over. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's the way he viewed it at all, and I don't think it matters that you weren't there. You're there now. You're there now. And the emphasis was, of course, on personal repentance before the Lord Jesus, so that as we repent and our families repent, our husbands, our wives, our children, and rededicate ourselves to righteous living and righteousness and holy living and sharing the gospel and just all that God calls us to do in Scripture, rediscovering Scripture and the joys of reading it and spending time. Blessed is the man whose God is the Lord, you know, who meditates on the law day and night. He'll prosper. He'll be like a tree by living water. That's your future if you do that. And if you do that, your nation will be like a huge, flourishing tree by living water. That's what we're praying for. And so Pastor Lou Engel, he's from the New Apostolic Reformation. Lots of people I didn't know, lots of pastors I did know, but he came forward to really put it out there about repentance. This is Pastor Lou Engel.
Would you get on your knees, soil your nice dresses, and say, "God, we humble ourselves before you." Lift your voices and just say, "Lord, I humble myself." Lift your voices all across this place. "Lord, we humble ourselves. We need mercy. We need a verdict of mercy. Forgive us, Lord, for our trespasses." Right all across this place, as we're kneeling before the ruler of nations, Jesus Christ. It says this: "If my people will seek my face," make a lifestyle change today. determine I am going to set my affections on loving God, not money, not power, but God. Right now, say, oh, by the grace of God, release an inward fire across America that people would seek you and hunger for you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray there are hidden sins. There are sins we've held on to. Today, in one decision, something can break. Lord, release repentance all across this nation. And now stand with me. For this is the Jubilee of America.
Okay, so Pastor Lou Engel, and really wherever you are today, whatever you're doing, this is your time to do the same. If you weren't there on Sunday, you didn't listen, you're hearing it now. And I just encourage each and every one of you to repent. You know, I do that to my friends in D.C. also who are not necessarily believers in the same way. Some are and some are not. It's time to clean up our act, to purify our thoughts, to dedicate ourselves to righteousness, to focus, to turn to God. Doesn't matter if you're a janitor, if you're a school teacher, you're a housewife, you're a pastor listening, you're a youth director, you're a millennial, you're a Charlie Kirk follower, whoever, a grandmother who served for decades like me. It's time to repent. Repent. Ask for forgiveness so that God can unleash his blessings on our people, our nation, for the sake of our children and our future. Also, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, who I've been hard on, I'm confessing that to you, think about this. He loves the Lord. He's a believer in Christ. I believe that's why he survived all the challenges. It wasn't because of me, because I made it hard on him. But he is, I feel like, honestly, speaking on political terms, he's really growing. Not spiritually, I think he was there, but just in understanding. And he's finding his fight, and I love that. And see, that's possible for all of us to have the Holy Spirit. He perfects us. He fixes us. He makes us better, more like him. And so think about this again. The President of the United States has just read a scripture telling us, if we repent and turn from our sins and our wicked ways, then God will heal our land. And he's saying that to himself as well. The Speaker of the House is saying the same thing. The Secretary of State is saying that. The Secretary of War is saying that. While they're, you know, prosecuting this war with Iran right now, all the complexities of this world, and they're with us praying, just reducing themselves to humility on a stage praying. Surely, God must be in this place right now. Surely God is listening to the prayers you and I have prayed for so long. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Let me remind you that Preborn makes this possible. If you'd like to help us continue with Sandy Rios 24/7, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. So the Speaker of the House comes back on the stage and he calls the nation to repentance. Let's listen.
Those voices have sought to distort the self-evident truth that we know so well, that our founders boldly proclaimed in the Declaration, that our rights do not derive from the government. They come from you, our Creator and Heavenly Father. Lord, just as we humbly sought out your guidance in past trials, we are doing it here again today. We turn to you once again to save us from these afflictions, to deliver us from the forces of evil, oppression, injustice, and tyranny, both within our borders and beyond our shores. And Lord, never let us be separated from your mercy and your love. We pray, Lord, that you continue to bless our president with the wisdom and prudence and strength to govern our nation in accordance with your will. We pray that you bestow upon all Americans a renewed love of country, hope for the future, in faith in your everlasting mercy and grace. Father, we pray mercy upon our land, mercy upon us for our mistakes. Forgive us of our sins individually and collectively, and help us to devote ourselves with a renewed piety and patriotism to the eternal truths of your word and to the enduring principles of the declaration you blessed us with. Above all, Lord, grant us the courage in your favor to preserve this republic. Instill within us the same devotion that compelled 56 men to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to this grand experiment in self-governance. The same devotion of patriots like a Patrick Henry, for whom liberty was worth any price. The same devotion of President Abraham Lincoln, who at Gettysburg charged his countrymen to rededicate themselves to the unfinished work of our fathers. Lord, today we pray that you grant us that same devotion to these United States. Give us courage, Lord. Make us worthy of all those who devoted and sacrificed their lives so that a government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Almighty God, we ask that you hear these solemn petitions. Just as we, in the beginning, dedicated this land to your most holy name, today, here, Lord, in this 250th year of American independence, we hereby rededicate the United States of America as one nation under God. Look upon us with favor, upon your country, as we celebrate this momentous anniversary, and let your Holy Spirit descend upon this land so that future generations will look back at this day in this present age and once again see your providential hand at work. I ask this today, Lord. I pray it and I believe it in your holy name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
a national jubilee of prayer and thanksgiving in the nation's capital. This is Sandy Rios, 24/7.